May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 186. My God, my portion and my love, my everlasting all, I've none but thee in heaven above, or on this earthly ball. Hymn 186.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and their rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broad fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen.
Hymn number 1148. Let all the heathen writers join to form one perfect book. Great God, if once compared with thine, how mean their writings look. Hymn 1148.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O most gracious, ever merciful, long-suffering, holy, holy, holy Lord God of heaven, the earth thy footstool, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, may we find grace in thy sight as we approach thy throne, thy footstool. We plead that we may find grace in thy sight. Lord, we come to thee in confession. We come to thee in confession, Lord, of those sins that are shown us of ourselves. And in all our failings before thee, Lord, in confessing and pleading thy great name, the Lord our righteousness, how we need it, Lord. And we do coming, we're coming to thee now. Lord, we are coming. To whom shall we go? There's the words of eternal life. We come in prayer. We can only plead thee to hold out the scepter unto us. We plead the name that speaks of heaven and of grace and of salvation. The name of the only begotten Son of the Father. Dear Lord Jesus, we plead thy name before the throne. And we come pleading thy dying hours, thy dying sufferings, Lord, thy dying love, thy dying grace, and all that it was for, and the last breath, when thou didst yield thy soul, thy spirit up unto thy Father. And so, dear Lord, we come. We have yet to yield our spirit up. And we come pleading in the meantime, while we wait, for the virtue of thy death, the blessing of it, sin put away, the law fulfilled, the sinner reconciled to God, the Lord magnified and honoured, and the blood shed as a token, the life given as a ransom price. Oh, the great love of God in this thing, this tremendous thing, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, the resurrection, thy rising was absolutely sure, absolutely certain to come, and it did come. So, dear Lord, arisen Lord and Saviour, triumphant over death, and spoiled the power and dominion of the enemy, dear Lord, and now thy people live in thee and upon thee. Because I live, ye shall live also. So we come, Lord, pleading thy precious blood, left as a token for us. Lord, my only advocate, thy blood as a token left for the poor sinner to plead, and there to hide under, and there safety dwells. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to pray. Help us to worship this night. May we find grace in thy sight to worship. May we find grace in thy sight to hear thy voice. Dear Lord, here am I. Speak, Lord. Lead us, guide us. Help us to be humble. Help us to be subject to thee in love and in discipleship and by the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord, we cannot do this ourselves, to take up our cross daily and follow thee. Didst thou not promise Peter 100-fold more of all those things that he forsook to follow thee? And in the end, everlasting life. Lord, he followed thee in love, and we would follow thee the same. Dear Lord, make thy word precious. May it be real to us. May we live in the Word of God. May we, by faith, in exercise that is, live near thy feet, in the lowest place. All that righteousness might come forth. Why do we say this, Lord? For we have to say with Job, behold, I am vile. Let thy work appear in this house of prayer. Remember the friends who've gathered. Dear Lord, do speak to their hearts, I beg. In whatever situation they're in, some might feel to be afar off and in fact be afar off. But may they hear the sound of the trumpet in the distance. May their soul be drawn. May they know with God there is mercy and forgiveness of all sin. And as poor and as we're unable to come sometimes, there must be the drawing and the coming. Lord, we pray for all in trouble, sorrow, loneliness, unhappiness. Lord, thou knowest every exercise and every cry up unto thee. May there be many tender hearts in this house of prayer. May there be many broken hearts in this house of prayer. And may there be many hearts touched with thy grace. Dear Lord, we pray thy blessing on this church and congregation. Remember the dear deacons, be gracious to them, help them in all things in their afflictions and trials. Bless thy servants that come amongst them week after week. Lord, grant, thus saith the Lord, and thy blessing on the word. Let there be a seed raised up here to serve thee, a generation to call thee blessed. Lord, remember all in affliction and pain and suffering. Oh, have compassion, put forth thy healing hand. Remember all in senior years who feel the end of days approaching. Oh, do visit them, do visit them, do visit them, do visit them, Lord, in compassion. Bless the young people going forth in life, in business, study, and so forth. We pray for their blessing and prosperity, but above this, oh, that they may be brought to thee and know thee, and at times be weaned away from these earthly things and drawn to the Lamb of God who liveth and reigneth forever. May eternity be very real to us each, whether younger or older. Oh, Lord, it must be opened up to us. It's not any good to us to know about these things. Where shall I spend eternity? Thou art the God of eternity. Oh, dear Lord, we pray thy blessing. Grant us each as we worship a broken, a humble heart. Bless the humble in this house. Oh, those who plough a lonely furrow, those in deep exercise of soul, thou knowest those that long for thee, thou knowest those who long for thy return. Lord, if we are pilgrims and we are thine, we shall be living for thy visit to see thee again and for thy return. Lord, there's nothing else to live for. And the disciples, by thy grace, they were brought to these things to wait for thee and tarried in Jerusalem. Dear Lord, we pray thy blessing on us. Let the day dawn, let the day star arise in our hearts. May we know thee to be the Lord our righteousness, as poor, poor, poor sinners, Lord. Oh, we are so vile, Lord, so corrupt. My breath is corrupt, says Job, my breath is corrupt. So remember us in loving kindness. So remember this house of prayer. And bless Zion. Remember thy servants on the walls of Zion, the group of churches to which we are attached and love. Let there be a thus saith the Lord. O strengthen thy servants from week to week, Sabbath to Sabbath. O Lord, strengthen their hands. Remember the editors of our denominational magazines, secretaries of our charitable societies. Bless them in their labours. Return in power. Or remember thy one church in the earth, the missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read through the earth. O Lord, have mercy on this our guilty land. Appear for England. Open the eyes of our leaders, may there be a shame. Raise up, deliver us, bring us as a nation to repentance. Bless our Queen, our royal house, lengthen out our Protestant heritage. Religious, civil liberties, freedom to worship. Dear Lord, we would enter thy courts with thanksgiving and praise. Oh, David said, thou hast been my help. Thou hast been my help. And Lord, what a wonderful thing that this poor worm in reality knows it's true. Our Lord, thou hast said to the church, thou wilt never leave them. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Such is the blessing of eternal life and grace. And so my soul pleads, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. I deserve it, Lord. I deserve it to happen. But my soul pleads thy grace. Now, Lord, what wait I for? We thank thee for all thy mercies and thy goodness and thy kindness. Answers to prayer, helps by the way, supplies. Or may we humble ourselves and know that all matters are ordered in our life. Every day is appointed. Oh, help us to humble ourselves. And we thank thee for thy kindness and those spiritual mercies, the throne of grace, the word of God, the doors of Zion open, but Lord, thou art the glory of it all. Our great high priest, our advocate, oh, the mercy of thy shed blood. Lord, leave me not to sin against thee. David said, against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. We have to fall down, Lord. Oh, leave us not to ourselves. Deliver us in the hour of temptation. May we not turn back, and may we not turn aside. Oh, may we pursue the narrow way till Jesus we view. Come, we thank thee for thy mercies. We do indeed. Now, Lord, bless the singing of thy worthy praise. And now there's things we should have mentioned in prayer, Lord. Bless the dear friends, every case, the Sunday school, and many other things. But, O Lord, I, Holy Ghost, Lord, Holy Ghost, I pray, be due in our midst. And Lord, Holy Father, plead the name of thy only begotten Son, in whom thou hast placed all things for us. I plead his name before the throne. And Lord Jesus, before the throne, I plead thy name, come. Come, Lord. Come into our hearts. Come into our lives. Come into my soul in love and grace. Have compassion. In the fullness of grace, visit me. Unworthy as we are. Unworthy as we are. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, into our midst and bless the word. Bless the word. Bless the word. Lord, it's thy word. Oh, Lord. Oh, let me not be a hindrance. Bless the word. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, we're waiting. Come, come. Come. Amen.
Hymn number 604. Why should a pilgrim grope within and judge by what he feels? A loathsome stench of death and sin no consolation yields. Hymn 604.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, I would draw your attention again to the Gospel according to John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. John 16:22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The Lord knew that they were desirous to ask him what he meant by a little while. You shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. He goes as far as to say to them that ye shall weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. We do believe the disciples did weep, and we believe they lamented because Christ said so. And we think of dear Peter, he must have lamented. The Lord was speaking to Peter as well as the other disciples. He had no idea of his weakness, even though the Lord told him what he would do. He completely denied it and said he would die for the Lord. And so said the other disciples. But this was, can we say, God's will in a right way? All appointed. Peter must have been utterly ashamed before the other disciples. We're aware that they weren't all there. John was there. He had to confess. And how the disciples were grieving. What sorrow they were brought into. But what they did not understand, that the suffering of their Lord was for their sins, to forgive their sins and to answer for their sins. That was why this was taking place. And they would only receive the joy as a poor sinner. As a poor sinner. To weep and lament. His people do weep and lament, but it's grace working, that causes them to weep and lament. After him, dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee. It's a very sweet experience, painful. But you know, the Lord Jesus likens this trouble to a woman in travail. Now, a woman in travail has got hope. She's got hope. She's longing for this child to be born, a life to be given. There's some exercise, you see. And this is what the Lord is pointing out, that a woman in travail has sorrow, and she does. Her hour's come to be delivered. How will it go? And we know the natural understanding of that, the worry that the hopes and expectations, but the anxieties and concerns when perhaps the mother's not so well, or there's some concern of the expected child, and so forth and so forth. These things are very painful, but there's always the hope, there's always the looking to the Lord. So the Lord likens it. Think of it spiritually. How will I do? Will I make shipwreck? How will it go? Will I be landed safely? And out of this trial, will the Lord really deliver me? You know, he delivers out of the miry clay. The miry clay. Do you know what the miry clay is? To be stuck in the miry clay. And you don't get out yourself. You know, no help in self I find, and yet I've sought it well. What a mighty Saviour we have to cry to. How will I do? Will the Lord deliver me? Will he hear my prayers? But think of something else. Will he seal on my heart his love and grace? Are you longing for that? Now, if we are true disciples, dear friends, the psalmist David said, now what wait I for? My hope is in thee. What are we waiting for? Why have we come to chapel tonight? We long for the blessing promised. Christ, Christ, Christ. The disciple, the Lord knows, he has spoken. He said, ye now therefore have sorrow. This is a word to the church. This is a word to his disciples, his followers. Ye now therefore have sorrow. Pathway sorrow, yes, spiritual sorrow. The sorrow that, I'm not going to say life brings, sin brings, the trial of faith brings, the testing times, the provings. Ye now therefore have sorrow. Now when I finished this morning, I said, but, there's the expectation. Oh, what a difference. That word brings forth a new way, a new path. It brings out of the sorrow a prospect, a hope. Dear friend, if you're a living soul, you'll be living for a prospect and a hope beyond next week, beyond your business, beyond your family, beyond your prosperity, an eternal hope. An eternal hope. But, something that's in God's hand, God's order, something that he certainly will do, and that is visit his people. That is certain. The exercise is, will he visit me? Will he come again? Will he pass me by? That's the exercise. There's one thing is certain. He will visit and he will bless and he will bring to heaven his people at last through his grace, through his finished work, unto glory. May the dear Lord exercise our hearts and speak. May the Lord speak to us and make it plain whether this word or another. Ye now therefore have sorrow. But, look, I've called you. Have you been called? Have you been brought to exercise? Do you remember the first time you prayed in a way you never prayed before? A prayer in need, a prayer in sorrow, a prayer in shame perhaps, a prayer in deep waters, and your soul led out to God. You are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But you're a disciple. You've been called. Have you heard the voice of him whom your soul desires and loves? Speaking, drawing. Does the gospel draw you? Do you know anything of the hope that rises? Even though the Lord hasn't blessed you, even though you've not got the blessing you want, the hope that rises in pleading at the throne of grace, his blood. It's a great mercy to do that, you know. There's hope in that name. There's hope in his blood. There's hope in his death. There's hope in his word. There's hope in his word to go and plead it.
as a poor sinner, as a poor sinner, and a needy sinner. Ye know our sorrow, but, oh, blessed be God, the gospel, you've heard the sound of the gospel, and you're drawn by the gospel trumpet. It's the work of the Holy Ghost, and it's finding grace in his sight. You know, that's a humble request. Pray that you may find grace in his sight in all your need and trouble. Grace in his sight. Plead it. Pray it. I'm having to continually. Right to the end of the journey. May we find grace in thy sight. Good Lord, pardon. And the good Lord did pardon. They were unfit and unprepared, many of them, for the Passover, and the Lord pardoned. But this is the wonder, this is the love, this is the disciples' desire, this is what they long to hear. Jesus spoke that thing they longed to hear. I will see you again. Now I know the text in its nature speaks of the disciples having been with Jesus. And you may say, but I don't feel the Lord has visited me. He's not sealed his love on my... Dear friend, have you been following Jesus? Have you been near Jesus in the Word? For Christ is in the Word. I'm not trying to add to the Word. I wouldn't do that. That would be lying. That would be, neo-blasphemy, if you will, to misinterpret the work of the Spirit. But Christ is in the Word. Is the Word of the Gospel in your heart as an influence, a power, an authority, a love, an exercise in your heart? And if that is so, you want to see the glory, the essence of the Word, the Son of God. You want to visit the blessing all his Word brings. I will see you again. But I will see you again. Now look into Scripture. Was there any exercise or character in a character, any person in the Word of God, in an exercise, who did not have this Word fulfilled? It can never be so. The Lord will visit his people. And some of them in deep waters were greatly favoured souls. Dear Jacob, greatly favoured. The promise of Bethel. It's a tremendous promise, you know. Friend, you know, you look into it a bit. You know, open up the Word and pray over it. And ask the Lord to show you the real blessing and the reality of what Jacob received. But wasn't he tried afterwards? Wasn't he brought to great straits? Look at Peniel. You know, Jacob was having to face up to the consequences of his deception at Peniel, and the Lord blessed him there. Facing up to the consequences of his own folly, and the Lord blessed him there. But you know, those years of silence, Joseph gone. I have often wondered about this. If ever Jacob must have been utterly tried concerning the word of the Lord to Joseph. Jacob observed these things. He kept them. He observed them. He knew there was something there. He knew the Lord was in it. So he hoped. But you see, he made a mistake. He favoured his son. He had a favorite. He made an idol of him. Gave him this gorgeous coat. Friend, we're no different. We're no different to Jacob. Make an idol of this, that, and the other. And you know that's where he was going to suffer. Poor dear Jacob was a sinner still, but Jacob have I loved. And he must have been utterly tried to the earth. Who can describe it? Concerning the reality of Joseph, is Joseph in glory? Can Joseph be in glory? We don't read anything of the exercise much, do we? We just read of the terrible grief. The terrible grief. And we realize in the word of God, the silence of God concerning the matter. Concerning the matter. But you know, the brothers come back. Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them. How could he believe them? How could he believe them? He had submitted, he had bowed to the will of God in sorrow, in wretchedness. Joseph was lost, Joseph was dead, Joseph had been torn. His heart must have been thinking of Joseph, naturally speaking, being torn. His arm must have been utterly cut to pieces concerning one he loved. But God was in it. God is in the tearing of your heart. If you're the Lord's, he's in it, and love is in it. And he'll see you again. He'll see you again. And he saw Jacob again. And they told him all the words. But we come to this. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to him, the spirit of Jacob his father revived. What an hour. Do you live for that hour? When Christ will appear to your soul. When the day will dawn. The day star will arise forever. Heaven will dawn. But it's through the river, friends. It's through the river. It's through tribulation. Much tribulation. These have come out of great tribulation. Ye now therefore have sorrow. But, we do not know how we should come to the end of the journey. It's a very solemn thing. Not, friend, they may be, there's a pilgrim here, could speak. Perhaps quite freely and honestly and openly in tender mercy of these things. But as they come a more of a reality and death gets more closer, you can't begin to speak out about it the same. You commit it to the Lord. And that's the work of Christ. The point is, friend, it's between your soul and the Lord. And these things are very serious. How shall I come to the end of the journey? The Lord knows, but glory. We know it's through trial. And friend, to die is a solemn thing. It's the hardest thing a man will ever face, just to have to bow his head and die. Friend, it's the last great plague. Answer to sin. It's God's final say on our life. Do you know that? Why do I say final? In the sentence of death within ourselves. But he's already made known when you come to that hour, if you're his, that you will be with him. He'll raise you to that hope. And in that exercise, you long to have it sealed on your heart that you will be with him. How shall I do in the swellings of Jordan? What if he hides his face? You can't change him, but he's a God of grace. Are you exercised now concerning your end, concerning being with him in glory beyond this world? Friend, or are we just living for this world and a religion in this world? Christ has not appeared just for this life. It's for the life to come. That is why he has appeared. But I will see you again. Oh, dear Jacob, what an hour, what a day. Friend, what a change. Tremendous. Friend, he must have sung his way down to Egypt, praising, blessing the Most High. It was like a drop of heaven coming down into his soul. That's what you're living for. That's what you need. And the Lord knows you need it. And this is why he spoke it in the gospel. But I will see you again. My thoughts went to Lamentations, you know. And dear Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and the terrible things he had to pronounce on Jerusalem for their sins. And he loved Zion. He loved Zion. He was hated for loving Zion. He was actually hated for it. But you know, the Lord often spoke to him. And you know, we read this, his words were found, and thy words were found, and I did eat them. And they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He had that hope. But, you know, out of the low dungeon he cried. And, O Lord, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou drewest near. In the day that I called upon thee, thou saidst, fear not, fear not. Why do I want to come to this? Light shines in the darkness. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Friend, is it too high? He was in the dungeon. The gospel comes down to the low place. The gospel isn't a high gospel. Friend, it's a glorious gospel. It comes from heaven, the highest place. But it comes down to the lowest place where Christ came. The lowest place where Christ came. Pleaded the causes of my soul. Thus redeemed my life. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Now, we read of those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Where was their heart? Where was their heart? By grace, it was toward him, with him. They were carrying love to Christ in their heart as they walked. And as they talked, it was their major concern. And as we understand, they were sad, but they were wondering, what does all this mean? Him they saw not, his body wasn't there. The dear Redeemer said to them, O fools and slow in heart to have believed, and so forth, all that the prophets have spoken, and so forth. And he opened up to the scripture. But you see, this is the point. We discover afterwards their heart burned within them, and their eyes were withholden, but their heart wasn't. Their heart wasn't withholden. Their eyes were withholden to see him, know him personally. But he was with them. Now, does your heart burn? Dear friend, you've not had the blessing. You've not had that faith view, if we say that rightly. It's not a natural sight. The eyes of our understanding being opened that we may behold Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, to hear his voice, but their heart were burning. Their heart was burning. Now, he was with them. Your heart can't burn after the Lamb of God and after the blessing of heaven except the Lord be with you. How can it? You answer that one. How can it? How can you desire Christ except the Lord be with you? Except the Spirit be with you? It's not possible. Ah, you say, Oh, yes, they do look down the road or look over there. And friend, they're all pleased with their religion. I can tell you that. They're pleased with themselves. I'm not being critical. I don't believe in attacking other denominations. I'm not into that sort of thing. I'm just pointing out the difference between pleased with your religion and feeling so poor and needy. What a difference it brings. What a different world. The poor and the needy need the Lord. And the Spirit of grace works in our heart. Now the secret is, does your heart burn? Does your heart burn after him? Is your heart burning? Friend, if it is burning, the Lord is walking with you, and yet your eyes are withholding from it. You can't see it. But sure it is, if it's burning, he's with you as he communes with you. By the way, does the word commune? Does hope commune? Does love commune? You know, how was he made known? How was he made known? The wonderful thing, you know. He took the bread and broke it. That's all we read. He didn't preach to them. No doubt there was a little bit of conversation at the table. I'm sure there would have been. Gracious. They didn't know the Son of God was with them. But you see, they broke the bread and they beheld him. What they must have seen, friend, what they must have seen when their eyes were open. Not just Jesus, he disappeared. They were left with the glory of his grace in their heart, their eyes, their understanding enlightened. The bread of heaven, his broken body, he's risen. He's definitely risen. This is him. This is him. This is him. There is that hymn, isn't there? I marked it. If Jesus kindly say, and with a whispering word, arise, my love, and come away, I run to meet my Lord. What was in my thoughts was this. My soul is in my ears. My heart is all on flame. My eyes are sweetly drowned in tears, and melted is my frame. My raptured soul will rise, and they did rise up. They went straight back to Jerusalem. My raptured soul will rise, and give a cheerful spring, and dart through the lofty skies to visit Zion's King. He meets me with a kiss, and with a smiling face, a taste the dear enchanting bliss and wonders at his grace and so forth. Don't think that's too high. Pray for it. Pray for it, friend. Pray for it. You're going to need it. You're going to need that, you know. You're going to need that. But all those disciples, what they must have felt. This is the breaking of bread. The ordinances. What he was born for, to suffer at Calvary. He appointed those ordinances, did he not? Baptism, his death, rising in newness of life, and his supper, to partake of that bread, to be a partaker of Christ in his sufferings, his cross, his glory, his grace, his love, to be one with him. I will see you again. And that is how it will come to your joy as your Lord, his broken heart, his glorious resurrection, all in one, all in one. His awful dying hour for your soul, feeding on the bread, feeding on the word, feeding on the love, feeding on his appearing. They went down there and then they had another surprise. When they got there were the disciples in there and they were talking. And what were they saying? The Lord is risen. Look, Peter's seen him. He's appeared to Simon. Peter's seen him. And if you're not sure, Paul confirms that in 1 Corinthians 15. Dear Peter saw him. We don't know anything about the interview. We know nothing about it. It's between Peter and the Lord alone. Can you describe the Lord's blessing to you effectually? You can't do it. But you know all about it. You know what it means. You know what it. You know the sins that are covered. You long for them to be covered. Sin forgiven. Can you describe it? Love to you. And you can see from your early days how the Lord had a regard to you and how you were so ignorant of it all, wandering in this world, but almighty love took you in hand, step by step, year by year, bringing you back, bringing you down, and love thee with an everlasting love. I will see you again. Friend, bread from heaven. Oh, when the Lord returns, it will be a time of great favour and soul. Friend, the blood, the word, I can't describe it. You can't, the point is, you cannot command it. You cannot command it. You have no say in the matter. He drops the shower in. Friend, he only needs a few seconds and it's days of rejoicing or hours of rejoicing. Just a word drops in and love and grace is in it. Aren't you living for it, friends? Aren't you living for it? Isn't that what you want? The poor and the needy. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. All his troubles. Those disciples were delivered out of their major troubles when the Lord appeared to them. But Thomas wasn't there. Oh, dear friend, left out. Thomas left out. Can you hear him crying? Why wasn't I there? Why would the Lord go and bless his people and I wasn't there? He must be against me. Why would the Lord visit them and bless them? He knew I wasn't there. He's the Lord God. Well, friends, I'm not trying to add to Scripture. We understand, I hope and believe, a little of what Thomas, his timidity, what it must have meant. You know, evangelists can turn on Christ just like they condemn Thomas's. But you know, the Lord did it for a reason. He had a personal visit, personally spoken to. But when Thomas was there, but Thomas, what are you saying? I cannot believe. Why? Because of unbelief, isn't it? That's why. Doubt. Fear. The Lord knows it. The Lord knows it. And Thomas, reach hither thy finger and so forth, and thrust thy hand in. But he didn't. We don't read he did, you know. It was enough. It was enough. My Lord and my God, blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. Even Thomas and dear Peter, oh dear Peter. Well, dear friend, I will see you again. Now there is a day to dawn. Give me a token. Friend, there are times when we're thankful for a token, and they're very sweet. But you will be led on for more than a token. I believe you'll be led on for a visit. How you long for your soul to be filled with his grace. Friend, can the starving live by hunger? They must have something. And they'll go and find it if they can, given health and strength naturally. And when we're starving enough, then we go to the Word. I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man, no trial, no sorrow not even death can take from you. Can it? Can it? How you tremble. We soon become like Thomas, don't we? How shall I stand the trying hour when it comes to the end? That's when you'll begin to be like Thomas. He will not fail. I was looking at the word this afternoon a bit. The immutability of Christ. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jacob's sons, you're one of Jacob's sons. You're like your father Jacob, aren't you? Just like him. But you're not consumed. You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. You know, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no... The same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. I will see you again. But despite what you're in, I will see you again. This is what we're living for. Is that what you're living for? If you're living so, you are. I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. Friend, that's holy joy, heavenly joy. It's all of grace, it's all of God. You're a poor nobody. You cannot, by taking thought, add one cubit to your stature spiritually. You cannot command the blessing. You can't do anything. You're a poor beggar. But you live upon the word. You're living upon the gospel. You're living upon him. Confessing those sins that made him mourn. Confessing those sins. But what a mercy if your sins did pierce him. What a mercy if your sins did pierce him. Ever so solemn, isn't it? If you've got grace in your heart, you'll weep over it, you know. You'll be in mourning many days. But what a great blessing if you were. What a mercy. What a mercy. Oh, may we be stirred up to seek our interest there. He's laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That'll be, you know, it'll be a wonderful thing when the Lord does see us again. We'll be broken, weeping, singing, rejoicing, crying, ashamed, abhorring ourselves like Job in dust and ashes. When did Job say that? When the Lord turned his captivity and blessed him. That's when he said it. That's the fruit of blessing. Abhorring oneself and adoring him. Not that legal, self-righteous, awful attitude of, shut up, John, shut up. Don't go down that line. But you know what I mean. Oh, a broken and a contrite, weeping after Jesus, weeping after Christ. I will see you again. The soldiers pierced his side, 'tis true. Do you know what it is to pierce him through and through? I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy, no man taketh from you.
The collections last Lord's Day were £680, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Funnell next Lord's Day, and he will, God willing, administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And our friends at Oakington hold a service for the Trinitarian Bible Society on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 789. O ye sons of men, be wise, trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. Hymn 789.
Thank you. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.